Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Newell will be back with us tomorrow. I'm Dave Cohen. Glad to be with you today. A cloudy Monday in the Crescent City when we are already seeing ramped up operations to get ready for the Super Bowl in just 13 days. That's exciting. It's going to mean huge crowds, huge attention on the city. It's going to mean lots of economic development, money for lots of people. But right now it's creating a traffic jam trying to get into downtown New Orleans. They've closed off Poydras Street in front of the Superdome, and I would expect additional traffic closures, detours, and congestion each day as we get closer to the big game being here in New Orleans. The bottom line is, if you don't have to come downtown, you might want to avoid it until after the Super Bowl. And if you do, you better allow a little extra time to get into the heart of the Central Business District. Right now, we have moderate delays coming in on the I-10 from Metairie and coming in on the I-10 from New Orleans East. Things have cleared up coming across the Crescent City Connection finally, but still a little slow going as you get closer to the Superdome. So get used to that for the next 13 days. It's just one of the things that we have to accept and deal with as we get the honor and pleasure of hosting the largest event in all of sports. Coming up, we'll talk about the two teams in the Super Bowl after the Chiefs and the Eagles advanced to come here to New Orleans to play for the NFL title. Bobby Abreu will join us in the noon hour. We'll ask the Cajun Cannon what he thinks about that matchup. And right now, the Chiefs are 1.5-point favorites is the opening line. We'll see if he thinks that's right. Also talk to him about the fact that the Saints are the last team that doesn't have a head coach. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Are they taking too much time? Did the winter storm slow down the Saints too much? Or is it good because now the Saints get to pick from all of the candidates left and get to really take a long, hard look at who's available and who would be the best fit for the black and gold. In the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to get you updated on efforts to lift the boil water advisory that is currently for all of New Orleans with the exception of the West Bank. If you are anywhere in the city of New Orleans, they are advising you to boil the water for a full minute and let it cool before consuming it because of the water pressure drop that happened yesterday. Kind of related to, but not a direct result of the snowfall that we had last Tuesday. We'll talk with Ghassan Corban, the executive director of the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board. This hour, I want to talk to you about smoking in bars, restaurants, and casinos in New Orleans. It was 10 years ago this month that the New Orleans City Council voted to ban smoking in bars and casinos. It was a hard-fought battle. It was controversial. There was anger. There were concerns expressed. And there was a lot of sentiment that not letting people smoke in bars and casinos in New Orleans would destroy the bar and casino business in the Crescent City. So a decade later, we want to look at what happened. I welcome your calls on the Oakwinhart Jewelers Talk and Text Line at 504-260-1870. Let me know if you think a decade later, 10 years after they first voted to ban smoking and vaping in bars and casinos in New Orleans, if it's turned out to be a good thing or a bad thing. Our guest is on the line now, joining us. Tanya Moore is a community engagement and health equity advocate at Ochsner and a former associate director of the Louisiana Public Health Institute. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. I'm glad that there's only a few piles of snow left here or there that haven't melted yet. A snowman or two still hanging on. But by and large, if we didn't see those few reminders, I would have thought I woke up from a bad dream and that never really happened.
I'm with you on that one. And good morning. But I tell you what, do this real quick. Breathe in with me. Exhale. We did not cough during that time.
So no,
that
we did
shows
not.
You, yes, that our indoor air quality is great.
Did you make out all right in the storm? You just had fun in the snow and it wasn't too inconvenient for you?
You know, it was beautiful. I enjoyed seeing it. I just really didn't think we would get 10 inches of snow, but it was the aftermath. I'm like, ooh, I just stayed home and then I had to leave out to go to work. So,
yeah, I think we all had to deal with that at some point because, well, you got to make money, and that's a good thing. So talking about money, I do know that initially after the ban on smoking in bars and casinos in New Orleans took effect a decade ago, there was documented evidence that the big casino, then Harrah's, now Caesars, did see a loss in revenue. The Gaming Control Board confirmed it, and some people stayed away because they couldn't smoke. Harrah's then opened a smoking area that is outdoors, essentially a smoking balcony. They put in heaters. All of the games are out there. And I think they tried to appease those smokers. But 10 years later, it seems like everyone's kind of gotten used to it. And now it is the way that it is. And yeah, I just don't hear many people grumble about it anymore.
No, and you don't. And let's talk about that. When I got the note to come on today, I was like, wow, has it been 10 years? I couldn't believe it. And it's actually exciting because there were a lot of, you know, there were a lot of people who, you know, didn't think this could happen. We had over 500 bars, the two casinos, because we can't forget about the fairgrounds is actually a casino as well. And look, today, I mean, we go somewhere and we're like, you know, if we're somewhere else, we're like, I can't believe they're smoking in there. So this has really, this is a true public health initiative that has really changed the course of how we do things. And yes, New Orleans can be a healthy city and we can continue to promote other health initiatives as well. But it has happened. It has been 10 years. We haven't, you know, seen many. We see, you know, people still going out, having a great time. And not just bars and casinos, but the restaurants. And, you know, that was the first to go.
Right. Louisiana that did that.
But
the legislature wouldn't go as far as including the bars and the casinos. And I remember we heard, you know, the biggest advocates for it were the musicians, were the servers, were the employees, were the dealers in the casino. All the people who had to work in that environment were the biggest advocates of not allowing smoking in public places, even if you had separate areas where you could smoke here but not there. I mean, I think we all saw it back, particularly when the treasure chest was still a multi-story riverboat, that even though they could only smoke on one floor, you could smell it throughout the entire boat. It was there no matter where you went. Now at Caesars, there's no smoking anywhere inside at all.
That's
Do you think
right.
that it means that we now have a healthier population of service industry workers and entertainers?
I would say yes, because that was, and you are correct with the musicians, the workers. This was about protecting the health of workers, and that was the premise of this entire campaign. And also just encouraging, you know, reducing secondhand smoke indoor. People thought, and you used the word ban, they thought we were going to eliminate all smoking. But we had to do a lot of education, and that took years of coalition building, education. Actually, my previous employer, we did several research about, you know, what it was like. So even looking at the lung capacity of a person that did not smoke, checking their capacity before going into the bar, and when they went in and checking them after, their lung capacity was that of a smoker. So it's just important to understand the dynamic around what it was like for a person working in those environments. So I think it is a huge success. And I also recall even during the year of the smoke-free ordinance, we did, you know, public opinion polls about support for it. And it was unanimous. So I think people wanted to see it. Sometimes, you know, when there's changes, there are, you know, scarcity about doing it. Or what's going to happen? Is it going to be successful? And we're still here. We're still standing. Look, we're about to host a Super Bowl in the next week or two. So it's just exciting that people get to come to our city and we highlight several things, but we also have the health component that we like to recognize as well.
Getting text messages from people in other parishes who wish that the ban on smoking in bars and casinos would be extended there. Getting several texts right now from Jefferson Parish. But you know what? Since New Orleans did it, I've heard very little in terms of proposals or campaigns or efforts anywhere else to do it, or statewide. Louisiana is one of 20 states that does not have a statewide ban on smoking in bars. And it doesn't break it down. I have the latest from the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. They don't break it down by casinos, but 30 states currently ban smoking in bars. Louisiana is one that does not, but the city of New Orleans and the city of Alexandria do within the state, but it's not statewide. Have you heard about any efforts either at the legislative level, statewide, or in any of the other surrounding parishes or municipalities in southeast Louisiana or greater New Orleans where there's an effort to ban smoking in bars?
Right. And so, you know, as you mentioned, I was the former director at Tobacco Free Living. And when I left in 2021, Shreveport had just enacted. So currently, I understand the Tobacco Free Living program. Now there are 30 plus municipalities in the state of Louisiana who have adopted comprehensive smoke-free policies, meaning, you know, eliminating smoking in all workplaces, including bars and casinos. And so with that, I'm not sure if there are any state efforts that are coming up, but I have, you know, I still keep in touch with my former colleagues and also the coalitions that work around public health issues such as this one. And I do understand there have been efforts for Jefferson Parish, as that caller texted in to ask. And, you know, it's going to take a lot of groundwork, and it's going to take education to get to that level that, you know, again, we have major cities and parishes such as New Orleans, as you mentioned, Alexandria, Monroe, Lafayette, and Baton Rouge, and several of them have casinos. So, you know, we're just looking forward to, you know, perhaps expanding that locally and statewide. So hopefully the coalitions that are continuing to work on this will include those parishes and continue to educate them on, you know, and again, this is about, you know, workers. This is about patrons. It's about improved air quality and just increasing public support. And those are some of the dimensions that our local governments are part of their overall responsibility. So maybe that will happen. We're going to keep our fingers crossed on that one.
Talking with Tanya Moore, she is the former associate director of the Louisiana Public Health Institute. Currently, she's a community engagement and health equity advocate for Ochsner Health. When we come back, I want to hear from you at 504-260-1870. Would you support, as the city did a decade ago, a statewide ban on smoking in bars and casinos? You know, I try to think, there are very few places you can go anymore indoors anywhere where you see people smoking. No one ever asks you anymore if you want a smoking or a non-smoking section at a restaurant. I still wish that hotels would go smoke-free, because even rooms that they say are smoke-free, often you go in and you can tell someone's been smoking in them. And I'm particularly sensitive to cigarette smoke, even though my mother was a three-pack-a-day smoker until I was 12 years old. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. I want to hear from you. Call us in Texas right now, 504-260-1870. Do you think Jefferson Parish and other surrounding parishes, St. Tammany Parish, should adopt a ban on smoking in bars and casinos, if there are any casinos? Do you think it should happen statewide? And are you surprised that Louisiana is one of 20 states that still does not outlaw it? And is there anywhere you go anymore where you do experience lots of people smoking? And I want to hear from smokers, too. Do you still feel picked on and discriminated against? Let's talk about it here on WWL. 1027, Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. We're talking with Tanya Moore. And Tanya, just so I make sure we have your name and your title correct, tell us exactly what it is that you did in efforts to help bring about this ban 10 years ago on smoking in bars and casinos, and what you're up to now.
Okay, so currently, I'm Tanya Moore, that's correct. I'm currently Director of Community and Public Affairs for the South Shore region with Ochsner Health. And back then, I was the associate director or director, depending on which date you all were looking at.
Of the Louisiana Public Health Institute.
Yes, correct.
Gotcha.
Correct.
Getting texts from people, and I didn't know this. I don't go out to a lot of bars anymore at this point in my life. But someone texted in and said, very few bars in Metairie allow smoking. I could probably name three, and I know, but I go to all of them. All right. So this person's an avid bar visitor. There was conversation back then, and I know there has been since, that the market should dictate that if people don't want to go into a bar where people are smoking, that they won't go there. They won't spend their money there, and that bar won't do well. But it was more than just about the management making a decision based on income and revenue. This was really about the people who work in those bars, the musicians who play in those bars, the DJs who came and played music in those bars, and everybody else who was somehow going there, even the delivery folks and so on, who didn't really have a say in the matter, right?
That's right. And look, and when at that time, we were ranked either 49th or even 50th in this, you know, among out of 50 states in health. Today, we're at 43. So we are seeing very small. It's small, but I want to say these are successful improvements that we're working our way up in this category. And so just like you're getting texts, I'm also getting texts. A friend of mine, haven't talked to in a long time, just told me, look, I remember that campaign, and this campaign was not to, point the fingers at those who smoke. We actually encouraged smokes. There were smokers part of our campaign who said, we want to do this with you. We encourage it. We realize this is a habit that's hard to kick. And we provided those cessation resources to them. And my friend just reminded me that he's been quit smoking 7 years. So, wow. Like, these are the stories that we heard. We heard from the workers saying they enjoy going to work, not worried about nosebleeds and headaches. So these are the things that we are excited about and that we can talk about 10 years later.
And you talk about the numbers. We're seeing other incremental increases. I'm looking at the America's Health Rankings report. And the last year I can find on smoking rates in Louisiana is 2022. It takes them a while to compile the data. But as of 2022, they said 16.7% of adults in Louisiana smoked cigarettes daily or some days. And they said that was higher than the 14% 14% nationally. But it was also lower than 2021, a year earlier, when it was estimated that 18.3% of Louisiana adults were smokers of cigarettes. So even we're seeing incremental increases on an annual basis. And I don't know if that's because of the more widespread disapproval of smoking in public places or not. But I do know we're going to have a whole generation of young people now who never have to answer the question, do you want to sit in smoking or non-smoking? I mean, there was a time when we had to decide at a restaurant if we wanted to sit around smokers or not. And I wonder, do you think that there will become a time, and 30 states currently outlaw smoking in bars, a number of municipalities, a couple of dozen, you said, here in Louisiana, outlaw smoking in bars. Do you see us continuing to make progress and head in the direction where eventually smoking in really all public places will be banned?
I think New Orleans and the state of Louisiana is making strides and moving in the right direction. And with those numbers you just talked about, you know, when I first started with the Tobacco Free Living campaign, we were at 30% of Louisianians smoke. So
wow, nearly a
again,
third. Wow.
Yes. And I remember going to different conferences and, you know, of course, you know, it's not great to see your state always at the bottom of the list for something. But, you know, again, once that education component, that the information, the statistics, you know, using people who actually have experience, not just, you know, pulling numbers out, not just making up stories, but real life people. And Dave, one of the things that resonated with the New Orleans campaign is we heard from musicians, we heard from bar owners, we heard from bar workers, and also the casino workers, you know, the impact stories there. That was very crucial, and that was very key to that particular campaign. And so it's not only, it was, the ordinance didn't just include smoking, it also restricted vaping in those same areas. So it's smoking and vaping, which we do see higher numbers of younger people using that as middle and high school, college students. We see more of the vaping in that area, so they may not see smoking. But they will, you know, the vaping piece is still also another caveat to this.
Yeah, someone just texted us. They said smoking rates are going down because vaping rates are going up. And we do see a lot more people in their teens and 20s and early 30s now vaping versus smoking. And I guess the jury's still out and there's still a significant debate. What are your thoughts on in terms of secondhand vapor versus secondhand smoke?
So, look, I've studied this for 15 years, and vaping, it was still new around 2008, 2009, so we didn't know a lot about it. But the vaping, the chemicals that were in vaping were also, had also harmful effects, same way as secondhand smoke, the way that they were used. And a lot of the products that are in vaping products and chemical, the liquid, you can ingest but not inhale. And that is two different things when you're looking at that, because there was this time period where we saw a lot of young people who became ill from some of the products. And as you've seen over the couple of years, you've been seeing more and more commercials, education around the dangers of vaping as well, which with smoking, we used to see health impacts maybe 10, 20 years down the line. With vaping, you're starting to see more health impacts a lot earlier because it goes directly to the lungs.
It feels like the momentum, though, of these public campaigns to restrict smoking in public places does not have the same oomph, the same push that it had 10, 15, even 20 years ago when we started to see the bans in restaurants, started to see the bans in workplaces, and then the bans a decade ago here in New Orleans in bars and casinos. It just doesn't feel like it's as active. I mean, I know there were some huge victories for the campaigns to stop smoking in public places, but it feels like maybe they've stalled out a bit and that we haven't seen a whole lot recently, at least in this area, of progress of further restricting smoking in public places. Now, people who are opposed to the restrictions may see that as a victory, but it feels like those who were winning those fights, maybe not so much since we had this ban 10 years ago.
And you're right. And look, this started with the airlines. So there was a time and point, and I'm trying to remember that maybe even before my time, when you could smoke on an airplane. And just think about the close capacity of that, where the airline stewardess started the initial smoke-free campaign in indoor workplaces. And then we started to see everywhere else, such as, you know, workplaces, you know, office buildings, the bars, the casinos, and other plate restaurants. We saw that much later, but we realized it's still a health issue. And so I know, you know, around my time of leaving the tobacco-free living campaign, there were a lot of emphasis that was placed on educating people on what's called smoking cessation. And that's to help people with quitting smoking. So there's, you know, the state's 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Ochsner has a great program, a smoking cessation program, and they have a very high rate of helping people quit as well. And so those programs are currently existing.
And I know a lot of employers here, our employer offers you through our health insurance free smoking cessation. You can get counseling, you can go see a doctor, you can get the patches and the gum and all those things. So many employers now who have an interest in their employees' health and well-being also fund efforts to help people quit smoking.
That is correct, because, you know, that insurance of that business, those bottom lines, that makes a huge impact. And so those are some of the things, those are some of the backstory that, you know, are not as popular. It's not making the news, but those are the things that are taking place. And so, you know, I don't know if we do as many New Year's resolutions in New Orleans, but we know on Ash Wednesday we see it more, because, you know, we're gonna stop eating, we're gonna stop smoking, and so until the king cake runs out, until, you know, the last beat is thrown, then we go in, then we say, okay, let's start this. And so that's the time for the listening audience to start thinking about, you know, what am I going to give up for Lent this year? And so there are lots of resources out there.
Tanya, when I saw this and I saw it was been a full 10 years, a decade since the ban went into effect, it really was shocking to me. But then I realized it's like so many other things. While it's a huge controversy, there's big fights when it happens. Years later, and now 10 years later, it's just normal now. People accept it, and life goes on. And anything else you want to share with us before we let you run?
Look, I am just excited that it is 10 years, 2025. I still can't believe it. And I have war stories about 2014 and 15. you know, people just didn't think it would work. And look, 10 years later, this is a way of life. And so I'm excited, and I'm excited to everyone here that's listening. And hopefully maybe Jefferson Parish will be interested. And I'm no longer in that field of work, but I would be happy to share any success stories.
All right. Well, maybe the 10-year anniversary of the ban in New Orleans will lead some people to rise up and start a campaign to reach out to their council members in Jefferson Parish and lead an effort to do that. Time will tell. Tanya, thank you so much for joining us. And it's good to talk to you again 10 years later, because I know we talked to you so much back then. All right. Tanya Moore here on WWL. All right. I'm going to read some of your texts on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line coming up next at 504-260-1870. I'm more than open to hear from people who think it's still a bad thing. Are you still left out there? Those of you who fought it 10 years ago, who said it was going to mean all the bars in New Orleans would close, they wouldn't be able to make ends meet, they wouldn't be able to pay their bills because they were going to see such a decrease in income. Now, 10 years later, I want to hear from you. Do you still think it's a bad thing that smoking is banned in bars in New Orleans? It's still allowed in Jefferson Parish, but I've talked to, via the text line and a few people that I know, saying that most of the bars they go to in Jefferson Parish, the owners chose to ban smoking inside, and they let people go outside and smoke. Sometimes they have a smoking patio or a smoking porch or something like that. Do we need an actual ban in Jefferson Parish, or is it taking care of itself? Let's talk about it. Call me now, 504-260-187. I got a line open for you, and I'll read some of your texts up next on WWL. Picking some good music there, Coleman. Yeah. You're not a smoker, are you? You're just doing your best smoker's voice. You know, it was 2007 that Louisiana passed a statewide smoking ban in workplaces. They included restaurants in that 18 years ago, but they did not include bars and casinos. It was 10 years ago this month that the New Orleans City Council voted to ban smoking in bars and casinos. So it's still legal technically in Jefferson Parish, still legal technically, not technically, but it is still legal to smoke in bars and in casinos in St. Tammany Parish as well. One person just texted us, though, said, "Good morning, Dave. I'm a musician. I didn't realize that Jefferson still allowed smoking. The venues that I play do not allow smoking." Somebody else says, "My husband's business partner owns video poker machines. They did take an initial large dip in revenue at bars, but once everything jumped this goes to a second text, but everything eventually leveled out," is what the gist of that text is. Coleman, you've spent some time in a bar or two here or there in Jefferson Parish, right?
Yes.
And here in New Orleans.
Yeah.
What's your experience been over the last 10 years in terms of numbers of people and just general sentiment about the smoking ban here in New Orleans and the fact that many bars chose to but don't have to ban it in Jefferson?
You know, it's kind of odd because the bar that I frequent, about a decade ago, maybe a little bit more than a decade ago, they tried to rebrand as a new bar where they did not have smoking inside. It was a different bar owner at this time, I should add, and it didn't work out for them. And I think it had more to do with the image as far as just the smoking, because not only did they not want smoking, they wanted to change it to make it more like upscale. Well, then a new owner came back, brought it back to a sports bar, right? And they were smoking a lot. Well, recently, like literally last year, she changed it to where if you're smoking like cigarettes or cigars, you would have to go outside. Well, you can still vape. And believe it or not, there are people that stopped going because of the smell of smoke that are coming back to the bar now that they, you know, certain, you know, cigarette smokers, cigar smokers have to smoke outside. So for everyone that complained, "Oh, I'm not coming back because I can't smoke like my stogie," somebody else would come back and say, "God, the stogie smell is away, now I can come back to the bar."
So, yeah, and if these numbers are right, that only that less than 17% now of Louisianians are regular smokers, then that means there's a lot more non-smokers than smokers. But you could also argue that 17% probably represents a larger chunk of bargoers.
Possibly. And we're talking about that when she said, you know, 10 years ago, people were complaining, saying that, you know, they're going to lose business. I'm like, well, no, 17%, like you said, a lot less people smoke than do smoke. So you think it would attract more non-smokers to businesses.
Yeah, but the two also go together. Smoking and drinking in many people's minds are, you know, hand in glove. So I think that it might be a larger percentage of drinkers or smokers than non-drinkers. So somebody else says yes to a statewide ban on smoking in bars and casinos. Somebody else says staff and owners should get to decide to go smoke free or not. Well, that's what it is currently on the North Shore and in Jefferson. It's only in New Orleans, locally, that you can't smoke in bars and casinos. Somebody else says it's a good thing. It's so much better. Now you can go out and enjoy yourself without having the feeling of your throat closing due to breathing someone else's smoke or smelling like smoke. Somebody else says the worst thing in the world is to walk in to one of those video poker casinos in the river parishes. You need a gas mask. All right.
You know what? One of those texts make a great point. About 3 or 4 years ago, it was a problem when I would leave my bar in my hair, my jacket, my jeans would all smell like smoke. And I just noticed now that the text of, like, I don't have to worry about that anymore. Now when I come home from the bar, I smell like the Axe body spray that I usually use. And maybe Jaeger pouring out my pores.
Yeah, some people may think that Jaeger and Axe is not better than secondhand smoke, but that's a discussion for another day. Chris, thanks for calling. You're on WWL. How you doing, Chris?
Hi, good. I'm just trying to figure out why Why did they initiate the no smoking ban? What's the purpose behind it?
It was the driving force behind it was these pro-health groups, but it was really the employees and their unions, if they had them, or just their loose organizations if they didn't. It was musicians, it was servers, it was cocktail waitresses. It was people who work in the bars and casinos that really pushed the initiative. And 10 years ago, a decade ago now, got it through.
Yeah, if this is all about public health and keeping everyone healthy, then why don't they shut down Café Du Monde?
Because they're making people fat?
People full of fried bread and sugar. I mean,
you don't get secondhand calories, right? You don't. It's someone else getting fat off of powdered sugar. Now, the powdered sugar is flying around in the air, maybe, but
there were many establishments at the time that had, a lot of clubs didn't outlawed smoking in certain individual establishments. That was a decision made by the owners. And so there was a market for non-smokers, and there was a market for smoking. And so, when this comes along, what they're doing is it's the consumer that suffers from this. I mean, we have less decisions to go and to spend our money. It's the government telling us what to do and how we're going to do it.
You're right.
Let the market figure it out.
And there's a lot of people who advocate for that.
The market is always right. The market will figure it out. It may take a little time, but let the market do it. We don't need LaToya Cantrell coming in.
Well, this was long before. I don't even think LaToya was on the council at that time.
I think she was on council.
She may have voted for it on the council. Yeah, because she's been mayor for 7 years. Like, Chris, chill. Dude, let me talk. Hold up, swole up.
No, I'm just saying,
we can take turns.
Like LaToya.
All right. That's enough, Chris. All right. Yes, you're right. She's been mayor for 7 years, and she was on the council before then, so she was on the council at the time the council passed this. But should the market control it? And that's an ongoing question, and that is still the case in 20 states. 30 states have banned smoking in bars now. 20 have not. Louisiana is one that has not. And do you think it's working in places like Jefferson and St. Tammany, where it's up to the market to decide? We'll continue the conversation after this. 504-260-1870. Call me or text me now. I felt like Chris was just trying to pick a fight. And since I didn't go for his fight over beignets, he wanted to fight over LaToya Cantrell. I don't want to fight with you. I just want to talk about it, folks. 504-260-1870. 10 years of smoking banned in bars and casinos. 18 years since you were asked you want smoking or non-smoking in a restaurant in Louisiana. We have a whole generation now of kids, now young adults, who have never been in a restaurant with smoking. That's kind of wild. I remember having the option of smoking or non-smoking. One person texts us, I wish we could do that today with children or no children sections at restaurants. Yeah, now that all my kids are grown and out of the house, I might pick a no children section if that was an option. another person says, yes, I miss those days of going to the donut shop and the donuts smelling and tasting like cigarette smoke. And somebody else says, yeah, and then the person behind the counter with the cigarette hanging off of their lip while they're serving you the donuts. Another person says, how is this hard? People have gotten cancer and died from secondhand smoke. We don't have to let the market decide, they put in quotes, when it comes to impacting the health of innocent people. Well, only New Orleans regional here locally banned smoking in bars and casinos, and only 30 states. I say only 30 because that still leaves 20 that have not banned it. Josh, thanks for calling. 10 years into the ban on smoking in bars and casinos in New Orleans. What's on your mind?
Well, you just said it perfectly. Secondhand smoke affects people's health. And, if people are at a workplace and their health's being affected, I think they have the right to say something. I just want to hear your opinion. If I'm an Uber driver and at work, and I'm not an Uber driver, but I'm just saying, or let's say a cab company and their union, they're saying at work their lives are in danger because people are consuming alcohol and drinking alcohol and driving. Would you advocate for banning alcohol? Because it does kill people.
Banning alcohol completely? I absolutely support tough laws on drunk driving, but I don't think that we have to ban alcohol completely.
So why is it okay for us to ban smoking in workplaces when in certain workplaces alcohol is hindering people's lives?
But we have a ban on driving drunk. We already have a ban on people running me over or crashing into me while drunk. And
right, I understand
isn't that the equivalent of banning secondhand smoke?
No. So my question is if a person in a workplace is allowed to say, I don't like A, this needs to be fixed, and then the government can come in and say, hey, public, this employee doesn't like A, so we're going to not let you allow to do it. What's to stop me as an Uber driver to say, this example A, alcohol, is endangering my life. Why can't the government step in and stop the alcohol? If it's all about health and if it's all about saving lives, because alcohol kills more people in this state than anything.
No, Josh, and I think
what's your opinion on that?
No, I think you're right about that, that alcohol is dangerous. And alcohol is deadly. And drunk driving is dangerous and deadly. But I see the parallel you're trying to draw, but I think it's a different one. I think the equivalent is we ban driving drunk. Coming up next, we'll see what's going on with the boil water advisory.